What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it is official. The New York Knicks are the NBA champions. This is, I believe, the ninth different champion we have had in a row in the NBA. So a lot of parity going on in the NBA over the last 10 years, which is great, man. It's great to see that any team has a chance to make it. But the New York Knicks were able to take the win in Game 5 on Saturday night in San Antonio. No shock at all. San Antonio had a double-digit lead at one point and then blew it in the second half, and the Knicks were able to run away with the game 94-90 in the second half. And Jalen Brunson, he ended up being the MVP with 45 points in this game. But overall, he obviously was the MVP. I mean, I know I was talking about OG Anunoby on the last show and just talking about how he was making the big plays, but I mean, when it's all said and done, Brunson obviously was the dude who kept this engine going, or I mean this train going. He was the engine that made it run. And he just kept chipping away. Anytime they were down, he just always kept driving the paint, and he would just throw up the shots, and it's either he's getting to the line or he's knocking down the shot. And this would happen numerous times. I mean, Game 5 was really odd, especially the first half. It felt like nobody wanted to win the game at all. Nobody was knocking down shots at all. And then the Knicks put it together in the second half, and they were able to walk away with it. And the thing with San Antonio, it was very odd to see these last two games especially. I mean, they gave it their all. I mean, I don't want to say they quit or anything, but it just kind of felt like they really faded away the last two games. And it felt like nobody wanted to take the big shot or take over the game and really will this team to win it all. And this goes for Victor Wembanyama as well. And it's like, you're the star. You are who all eyes are on. But like I said, this team all season long, even in spite of his injuries, the team still played great, and all the rest of the team played great, and they were able to take over when they needed to, but they just were not able to do that in the NBA Finals. I even knew once the Knicks started to chip away at the lead, I was looking at this game, and I'm like, nobody wants to take over for the Spurs. Nobody wanted to take the big shot. Nobody wanted to take over the game, and it just kind of felt like they were ready to give this game away to the New York Knicks. And that's basically what they did. Now, I will say, obviously, the Knicks won this series. I'm not saying that they did not. Obviously, when you have the comebacks that they did and to just keep continuously chipping away at a double-digit lead in every single game and be in it every single game and finally win your franchise a championship, that they absolutely won it, not even taking it away from them. It's just when I watched San Antonio, it was the weirdest last two games for them. They just, it felt like nobody wanted to do shit. And so that's just what I noticed from them. Hopefully they learned from that and they're just going to take it into next year and be much better. But they definitely did not look good at all in those last two games. I do want to say I do not give a shit about New York Knicks fans. I am not that person who's like, oh, congratulations to the fans, because I'm sorry, fans don't do a goddamn thing. We just sit our fat asses down in front of the TV or whatever device you're watching. Half the time we're saying dumb shit that we don't know dumb shit about, and we don't do anything. We just cheer and also criticize as well. We don't put the work in, so no, I'm not going to congratulate stupid-ass New York Knicks fans who are burning down their own city anyways, which another thing I don't get. Not sure why you celebrate or burn down your city or do both at the same time. You just look stupid, but congratulations. That's what you get. But I don't give a shit about the fans. The fans don't count, they don't matter, and they never will. And then speaking of that, Mike Breen sucks. The play-by-play announcer for these NBA games. It's really amusing to me because the last 3, 4, 5 seasons, they keep rotating other announcers with him. And I'm starting to feel that they don't understand that the common denominator is Mike Breen, and he is just terrible at his fucking job. I've always thought he was terrible at his fucking job, and ESPN needs to get a new guy to do the number one NBA games, because I am sick to death of hearing him. He sucks. And his first comment out of his stupid, idiotic mouth in Game 5 is, congratulations, Knicks fans! No, fuck you, Knicks fans. You didn't do shit. You don't deserve a congratulations. the Knicks players deserve a congratulations, but this idiot's congratulating fans like they know shit. And it's like, God, you are so terrible at your job to begin with. And then you go and add that on. And I was like, God, you suck. And seriously, the last like 5 seasons, they really have changed his rotation. And it's like, really, get rid of Mike Breen because he's terrible at his job. Terrible. He's just terrible at it. So just get rid of him. We don't need him anymore. But I'm sure he's got a nice little contract, and it's ESPN. They usually keep all the shitty people they possibly can. So Mike Breen will probably still be around, but they'll probably get rid of Richard Jefferson and Tim Legler because those were the two guys with them this year, and usually those are who gets the boot with Mike Breen. So I look forward to whoever's with that stupid idiot next year. But luckily, I don't have to hear his dumb voice until about October again. But congratulations to the New York Knicks team on winning the championship. And now they get to roll into next season being the defending champions. Also, too, they won the tournament in the mid-season tournament as well. So they're basically kind of like two-time champions this year. They didn't hang up that banner, though, but now they might as well because they won them both in the same year. All right, so let's move on to baseball and the top 10 MLB power rankings for this week. And we do have a new number one because, you know, a few teams are slumping right now, but there are some teams doing very well, and let's just get right into it. Number one is the New York Yankees. Overall record of 43-27, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians and over the Toronto Blue Jays. And it's crazy because Aaron Judge has been out the last, 2-3 weeks now, and they haven't lost a step. Usually over the last couple of seasons when Judge goes out, it's just the Yankees careen into the earth and they never come back until Judge comes back. And we don't know when he's coming back because this is just one of those injuries that's touch and go and you just don't know when he's gonna be healthy. But it doesn't matter because the offense has not suffered and the pitching is, they've been lights out. I mean, Schlittler, 7 wins on the season, 182 ERA and 96 strikeouts. Warren has 7 wins on the season. Cole is getting hot again and they get Freed back. I'm not sure when he's coming back, but he's going to be coming back around the corner. He's only on the 10-day injured list. So, it doesn't sound like that's going to be a major injury, but you never know. But even so, without Freed, their Cy Young Award winning pitcher, and without Judge, their MVP, they still are doing great. They're top 10 in all of the categories except for, I can't remember. I think it was batting average. Yeah, that's right. Batting average is the only thing that they are not top 10 in. Everything else, they are top 10 in right now. And it's offensively. I mean, Jazz Chisholm has really stepped it up. I mean, he was already starting to get hot before Aaron Judge got injured. But since the Aaron Judge injury, he has really just been raking and really just been hitting bombs out of the park. And then they're just getting a lot of production out of a lot of guys from a lot of different positions. And it's just crazy to think that I even looked at it. I was like, shit, I got to put the Yankees at number one this week. Just looking at them statistically, looking at who they beat and just look at what they're doing. And it's really shocking because I thought as soon as Judge got hurt, I was like, I didn't think they were going to completely fall off the face of the earth, but I definitely thought they were going to suffer. And so far, so good. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 43-26. They are 6-4 in their last 10 games. And this past week, they lost a series to the Sacramento A's, but absolutely dominated the Philadelphia Phillies. And Mizorowski, he is just getting better as the season wears on. This weekend against the Phillies, he had a one-hitter complete game. He threw a Maddux. I believe it was under, I know it was under 90 pitches for sure. I think it was like 84 pitches or something like that. He had 15 strikeouts, so it was just another double-digit strikeout game for him. And he just has been absolutely wheeling and dealing every single start. But it's not just him. Kyle Harrison actually used to be with the Giants a couple seasons ago. Didn't really think he was going to be that great, and turns out he is right there with Miz, just wheeling and dealing. You really cannot score on either of those dudes. Then you also have Ashby having a fantastic season. The Brewers are really a solid team, and I didn't really think they were going to be this good, but they are really, really good. Then at number three on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that's fallen back a little bit, and that's the Atlanta Braves. Overall record of 46-25. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost a series to the Chicago White Sox and then lost a series to the New York Mets. And they are now suffering more and more injuries yet again. But it is to two guys who are typically injured, and that would be Ronald Acuña Jr. He's been in and out of the injured list all season long. He is back on the injured list this week. And then Spencer Strider, he's going to be out at least in a 4 weeks himself with some inflammation in his elbow. It doesn't look like it's any type of torn ligament damage. It's more just to prevent some type of ligament damage. But both of these dudes have been in and out of the injured list all season long, really the last couple of seasons. But they do get Drake Baldwin back tonight, their standout rookie catcher, who's been having a phenomenal year. So they're definitely going to need the power back from him. But, I mean, the Braves, even though they are slumping right now, they still have more wins than everybody in the league right now with 46 wins. Right on their ass, though, at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Overall record of 45-27. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates and lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. Yes, lost a series to the Chicago White Sox. As a matter of fact, the White Sox took them to the mat in pretty much every single game. But I will say, Yamamoto has been pitching lights out this year. 7 wins, a 2.52 ERA, and 80 strikeouts. And then just overall, Otani's been having a fantastic year himself. As far as pitching goes, he's got 6 wins, 73 strikeouts, and a 1.06 ERA. And then hitting, he's batting a .302, 14 home runs, 41 RBI. So not really knocking him out of the park as he usually does. But I mean, just overall, he's been having a fantastic year. And the Dodgers are getting back in order. I mean, Freddie Freeman's starting to light it up. Mookie Betts is starting to get more and more healthy as well. And then, of course, the usual suspects who have been really lighting it up all season. Páez, Muncy, they're all playing great. And the Dodgers look like they always do. Good. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 38-33. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Toronto Blue Jays and then lost the series to the Milwaukee Brewers. Christopher Sanchez, there is not one bad thing you could say about this dude in the season that he's been having this year. Like I said, it is just crazy to see what he's doing this year. I expected him to be good because you could see over the last couple of seasons he's really been building up to be where he's at today. But man, I did not expect him to be a Cy Young Award leading candidate, and he is. He's got 8 wins on the season with a 1.82 ERA and 116 strikeouts. The dude is money, real difficult to strike out on, real difficult to get on base on. And I mean, he's just striking everybody out who comes up to the plate. And even though Mizorowski for the Brewers is having a phenomenal year, Sanchez is obviously the National League Cy Young Award winner right now. I mean, we're not even halfway through the season, but I mean, those numbers, come on. He's just been dominating. And like I said, he's been difficult to score on. Nobody can score on this dude. And this 1.82 ERA is basically Fugazi. It's probably because of poor defense behind him, and it has nothing to do with what he's done this season. And then, of course, Schwarber doing what Schwarber do, and that is 24 home runs, 42 RBI, and making the clutch hits when necessary. Bryce Harper has also been having a really typical Bryce Harper year. You know, he's been battling through injuries over the last couple of seasons, but this year he seems to be healthy, and he seems to be back to being the old Bryce Harper. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team I cannot believe we're still talking about, but we are, and that is the Chicago White Sox. Overall record of 38-32, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat both the Atlanta Braves and the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, they took series against both of those teams. It was actually really difficult for me to not put them above them, but, you know, my power rankings, they don't just involve, you know, records, and sometimes it doesn't even matter if you beat them. Sometimes it will if you're close, but to me, the White Sox, they're such a breakout team that they're real difficult for me to trust, and they got to do a lot more for me to start believing them in them. But, I mean, 6 and still talking about them is great. I mean, hell, they're still in first place in their division, which is insane. Did not think I was going to be saying that at all at any point in this season. But, I mean, they're getting a lot of production from Miguel Vargas. He's batting at .247, 16 home runs, 44 RBI. And then, of course, Martin has been having a phenomenal year pitching with 9 wins on the season, a .241 ERA, and 79 strikeouts. So it's just, this Chicago White Sox team, they've got a lot of young dudes who are getting the job done. But then they've also got these veterans who are just in the mix as well and making some big plays. And like I said, it's really shocking to be talking about the White Sox still. And, I mean, you look at it now, the Guardians, who are in their division, they just lost Jose Ramirez to an injury for the next couple of weeks or month. And so that's a big blow to their roster. And then you look at the rest of their division, it's basically up for grabs. And if the White Sox kind of pad up this lead against the Guardians, as they're going to need to do, because you can never count the Guardians out, it's kind of crazy to even be talking about the White Sox in my ranking, my power rankings, but also to talk about that they just beat the two top teams in the National League and handedly beat them as well. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of St. Louis Cardinals, overall record of 38-31. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the New York Mets and then lost the series to the Minnesota Twins. And just getting a lot of production from some young dudes on the team. Jordan Walker has not cooled off at all. He's batting .294 with 18 home runs, 56 RBI, and he is leading in every single offensive category for the St. Louis Cardinals. But then you also have J.J. Weatherholt. He's been phenomenal all year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. But offensively, he's really provided them a nice source of offense as well, batting at .255, 10 home runs, 31 RBI. And this team, pitching as well, has been very solid. They've been up and down a little bit, but I mean, they've been able to compete with the best of them. And I mean, they're still in it. And they're also kind of in the same type of situation with the White Sox, where they're in a division that's pretty much up for grabs. You know, it kind of looked like the Cubs were going to run away with it there, but now the Cubs are not really even dominating in the way they were. So who knows who this division's going to go to. And so St. Louis right now looking like the better team in that division. And that's just kind of how that division's gone so far. It's like a round robin of who's the better team this week. And this week it is the Cardinals. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, a team that has been falling over the last couple of weeks, and that is the Tampa Bay Rays. Overall record of 41-27. They are 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the Boston Red Sox, but lost the series to the Los Angeles Angels, and it's just they're getting blown up. Even their starting pitchers are getting blown up. They've been having some defensive follies as well. It's just they haven't really been playing buttoned up Tampa Bay Rays baseball, but I mean that's to be expected with such a long season. But they are still tops in the league. But they probably were hoping to maintain that lead with Aaron Judge out, because when you take Judge out of that Yankees lineup, that really does take a huge chunk of offense away from them. But I mean they're overcoming that, and it doesn't matter. And now the Rays are probably looking at like, oh shit, we're not even getting those losses that we think we're going to get. And now they're starting to lose and they're starting to look very shaky, both offensively and defensively. We'll see if this is just a little slump or if it's something that's going to last throughout the rest of the season. But right now the Tampa Bay Rays are not playing as well as they have been for the most of the season. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, another team that I can't believe we're still talking about, but we are, and that is the Washington Nationals. Overall record of 37-35. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they took the series over the San Francisco Giants and the Seattle Mariners, and they are getting so much production from their young guys. All of their young guys are really, really stepping it up on the offensive side of the ball. You got Abrams, 14 home runs, 53 RBI on the season. James Wood, 20 home runs, 46 RBI on the season. And then this other guy, Dylan Lyle, 8 home runs, 37 RBI on the season. And these guys are super consistent. You don't know which one to pitch around because you really can't pitch around any of them. If you try and pitch around Abrams, well, there's Wood. And then now you got Lyle, who's kind of taken a little time to get going. But for the most part, these three guys have been very consistent behind the plate, and they've just been real difficult to sit down. And then you've got their starting pitching with the Washington Nationals that just really has not been playing around, especially since May. I mean, the last month and a half, this has been really solid baseball from the Washington Nationals. And this is another team where I look at, is this just fluky, or are they going to maintain this throughout the rest of the season? But with these young guys, Abrams, Wood, and Lyle, if they keep getting that type of production from those three guys, because they, you know, I didn't mention how many stolen bases each guy has, but they also are good for that too. So they, even hitting them out of the park, that's they are good at everything that they do defensively as well. So this Washington Nationals team, very surprising, and it's going to be shocking if they actually kind of keep playing like this and end up being maybe one of those wild card teams that sneaks in, because I don't know if you want to go up against these young guys because they got a lot of talent on this team. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, a team that I'm shocked that we're talking about, but this is legitimately the hottest team in the league right now, and that is the Miami Marlins. Overall record of 36-36, so yes, they're playing 500 baseball right now, but they are 8-2 in their last 10 games. And I mean, overall, like I said, the last month of baseball, they have the best record. They've been playing the best baseball, and right now they are undeniable at what they're doing. This past week, they took the series over the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Pittsburgh Pirates. I mentioned Sandy Alcantara to begin the season. I kind of felt like he is going to be trade bait because he basically has been that trade bait player that the Marlins have been talking about potentially getting rid of for years. I mean, he's an excellent pitcher, so he's definitely going to bring you some pieces. You could definitely get some draft picks. You could definitely get some farm players. Hell, you could probably get some really solid dudes for Alcantara. But the Marlins just have never got rid of him. And with the way they're playing, I kind of feel like he's going to end up staying with them unless they go on some type of really terrible losing streak once the trade deadline rolls around next month. But right now, Alcantara on the season, 6 wins, 4.25 ERA, which is pretty high for him, but 71 strikeouts. I mean, he's just, for the most part, when he comes out to pitch, it's pretty much a win for the Marlins. But speaking of winning for the Marlins, the pitcher for them is Max Meyer. As a matter of fact, he had a pitching duel against Paul Skeens over the weekend, and he won. So that just kind of goes to show what kind of a season Max Meyer is having. 7 wins on the season, 2.75 ERA, and 95 strikeouts. So he's really actually been the ace over Alcantara. And then offensively, they have really got it going with Otto Lopez. Xavier Edwards, he's just been super consistent all year. And I mean, he came out of nowhere. But he's been very consistent all season. He's batting near a 300. I think 299 is what he's at right now. And then Liam Hicks is another one who's just been having a solid year offensively. This Marlins team, they have a lot of talent. It's just, are they going to be able to keep it put together for a while? And like I said, we'll see what happens once the All-Star break rolls around and the trade deadline rolls around next month. Are the Marlins going to be buyers? Are they going to be sellers? Because this could just be a fake little winning streak, and then they could go back to being the typical Marlins that we're used to seeing. But right now, they're playing excellent baseball, and I was looking at it. I was like, you know what? The 9-10 area sometimes gets a little shaky, and you can kind of just flip a coin and kind of just be picky and choosy. And sometimes I do pick a new team at 10 or 9 just to kind of talk about them. And, you know, the Marlins right now, they're playing some undeniably good baseball right now, so I felt like I had to talk about them. Don't know if we're going to be talking about him for a long time, but who knows? Like I said, to start the season, I felt like Alcantara was complete trade bait. But right now, they keep playing this way, and they keep playing competitive baseball. He's actually probably going to be with them another season. All right, y'all, enjoy the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.